I would ask you to open your Bibles this morning to Philippians chapter 4. And in some ways, this is a companion message to last week's message, when we dealt with the words that we are to give thanks. In all things, give thanks. It doesn't say for all things, it says in all things. And our message had to do with that. Now, this is sort of a companion message to that. You'll see why in a moment as we read. Let's begin with verse 4 of Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. For our purposes this morning, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Let me use another phrase. Don't worry. Don't worry. As I was preparing this sermon, these two words were very prevalent in my mind and in my thinking. And I kept coming to them and thinking. So that might be a good title for our message, simply, don't worry. King James says, be careful for nothing. This chapter begins with many exhortations. For example, in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. A child of God is to rejoice at all times, regardless of our outward circumstances. And the reason we can do that is because the chief source of joy for the true child of God is the Lord. That's why we rejoice, really. Happy birthday, Merry Christmas. But we're not talking about necessarily that. We're talking about something that goes far deeper. If the source of joy is anything else than the Lord Himself, then it's not possible to rejoice always. When I was growing up, there was a very popular song in that day. Started off, oh, what a beautiful morning, oh, what a beautiful day, da 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 da. Everything's going my way. Really? Well, it makes a nice song. And there are days that are exceptional in terms of things seem to click and fall into place, and it could be maybe described by those words. The Christian's joy is not based on everything going my way. The Christian's joy is the Lord. Who, by the way, happens to be the source of all blessings. Now, There's another exhortation there in verse 5. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. The Apostle Paul exhorts believers not to be overly enthused when they are not being troubled by the world. Nor to be discouraged when the world frowns upon them. In other words, here's the issue. Conduct yourselves in an orderly fashion, regardless of what you're experiencing at the moment. What a testimony that is. When times of stress or sorrow or need or whatever the case may be, that there's that calmness, there's that composure, because we know, do we not? God is sovereign and He's in control. That should make a difference in the way we go through trials. Don't get worried. Don't worry. He says, for anything. Well, that's all inclusive. What does that have to do with? Well, I tell you, if you compare Scripture with Scripture, you're going to come up with this. It has to do with the concerns of this present life, the things of this world and of time. There are things that we naturally, normally, would tend to become concerned about. And to show no concern is not good. It's not being responsible. But I hope as we progress you will see the difference of why we say don't worry. Here's the danger. Here's the problem. It is so easy to become overly concerned. Martha. Martha. You're troubled. You're worried. That's one of the versions uses that word. About so many things. And then our Lord says, but only a few are necessary. And then He says, really only one. The Philippians, who were they? What was happening in their life? Paul writes these words to these Philippians. Well, I can tell you this much. They were in danger of losing every earthly possession. Imminently so. And Paul says to them, hey, don't worry. Paul instructs them, don't be like the worldlings in this matter, who become excessively worried, and therefore take excessive measures to secure what you have. He's not condemning them for taking measure. He's condemning them for taking excessive measures. He Yes, we are to take reasonable measures to protect our property. That is right. To do otherwise would be irresponsible in a sinful way. The child of God does take proper measure and then trusts the Lord with his protection. That's a balanced way. So what is this worry? What is it? Number one, when you have too many cares. When we allow ourselves to have so many cares that we're wholly taken up with how many cares we do have. In other words, when we allow ourselves to be concerned about so many things, and that was exactly what our Lord identified with Martha. He said, there's just a few things that are worthy of being concerned about. And then he says, really only one. So what happens is these number of cares multiply and increase, and the care increases, and at some point it becomes excessive. It's injuring, it's harmful, it's depriving you of being the person God wants you to be, whether it's a wife or a mother or husband or father. What happens? These things literally take over and crowd out those things that really ought to occupy our mind. Secondly, when our cares become disruptive, what do I mean by disruptive? I mean they become the cause of confusion and disorder. Again, our Lord speaking to Martha, he uses the word many, many things. Troubled. When cares cause the soul to become restless like a troubled sea, they are then disruptive. They are tumultuous. And they begin to have such an influence on you as an individual that you're not the husband, you're not the wife, you're not the employee that you should be or could be. There's a third problem. It's very similar. It's being agitated and distressed. For example, you can become so bothered and so stressed and so agitated that you become unkind to your children. I'm just picking an example. You answer them hatefully, angrily. Why? Because you're being influenced under these multiple problems that at the moment, if one thing else goes wrong, you think you're going to lose it. It happens. A wife may speak cross words or angrily to her husband, and the husband to the wife, or the parents to the children. Because pressures have built up so that you lose it, the control that you should have at that moment. Let's look at some other symptoms. It's amazing how doctors are looking for symptoms when you have health issues. Here's one that should get your attention. When our thoughts are more earthly than heavenly. Someone has well said, you are not what you think you are, but what you think you are. What you think you are. What are you thinking about through the day? Spiritual matters, God's word, God's truth, ever come to your mind? Part of the reason why they don't is because of preoccupation with earthly, material things. Our Lord did say, seek first the kingdom of God. That's what you ought to be thinking about, rather than what are we going to eat. I'm not saying you shouldn't plan the menu for the evening, but what I am saying is this: what's absorbing you? What's taking up your thought life? And the kingdom of God and the expansion of that kingdom into the hearts of never dying souls at some point during the day ought to grip your mind and heart. Again, I cannot overemphasize the vital importance and necessity of memorizing God's word. I'm not talking about memorizing John 3:16. That's okay, that's good. You should memorize it. I'm talking about putting out the effort to memorize larger portions of Scripture. Venture into and memorize Psalm 1 and keep it up until you memorize Psalm 25. Why do that? I'm old enough to remember when they first came out with computers. And one of the slogans in those days happened to be, as they were developing the computer and making it so forth, trash in, trash out. That's true. Our minds and our hearts ought to be filled with the Word of God so that you can quote Psalm 100 on I-35 as you're coming home. Or putting the laundry in the washing machine. Or going to bed. Or waking up in the middle of the night. Unto thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Let none that wait upon thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy path. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. How precious does that become to you in the wee hours of the morning if you happen to wake up? awake. Or while you're taking your shower. What are you thinking about? My 5-year-old daughter told my wife on one occasion that she knew everything without thinking. I was a pretty smart 5-year-old girl. The truth is, we don't know everything without thinking. And we need to memorize God's Word and put that into our mind and into our heart so it's available, so that even the Holy Spirit can tap into that and bring it to your mind at the right time, in the right place. And your mind is becoming saturated with God's Word. And instead of all of these pressing things that worry you, it's a matter of priority. Seek first. And all of these other things will be added unto you. It's wrong to become more concerned about our title to earthly estates than it is to be concerned about our spiritual inheritance. To be more concerned about material things, toys, yo-yos, call them whatever you want to call them, than to be concerned about making our calling and election sure. More interested in riches than in growing in grace, more concerned about our physical health than our spiritual health. And in the fifth place, when our cares hinder us from enjoying the things that God has provided for us, God has made gracious and wonderful provisions for us. And then there are those who have to have a little bit more. A little bit more. A man who was a crooked lawyer that I happened to confront. I was talking to him in his office, and he said to me, he says, "You know how much money it takes to satisfy me?" I said, "No, sir." He said, "Just one more dollar. Just one more dollar. And it's always just one more dollar." Never stops. Constant. You remember the parable of the sower, the soils representing the condition of the heart. And there's the stony ground here. And then there's those who were sown among the thorns. Our Lord says, "And the one sown on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry," that's the word is used in this translation. The worry. Then he goes on to say, of the world. The worry of the world. And then he adds to that, the deceitfulness of riches. What happens? Very picturesque word. Chokes. Choke. The word. And it becomes unfruitful. That same process can take place if we're not careful. Things that are getting hold of us here and there, sometimes very insidiously, but they're taking a toll. When our cares hinder us, this would be the sixth point. When our cares hinder us from carrying out our Christian duty, we're guilty of disobeying the exhortation, don't worry. Don't worry. They hinder, for example, what about your time personally with God, your devotions? Someone one time said, if you lose your to-do list, sit down to have your personal devotions. I said, what does that mean, Pastor? It means Satan will bring to your mind everything you have to do, plus a few more things to hinder you from getting the benefit for your soul. He robs you. It's as if a man opened your front door and walked in with a gun and took something away from you. That's what happens. You lose the most precious thing. What about your public worship? We know what it is, do we not? To all of a sudden, even in our public worship, things come into our mind about, oh, what about that meeting I have tomorrow? And our mind is distracted from focusing on the hymns, the meaning of the words of the hymns that we're singing, or the word that's being read, or the prayer that's being prayed, or the sermon that's being preached. Thorns! Choke it out. Here's one that's a little bit more subtle, but nonetheless real. It's number 7. When we are distrustful. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And we come into difficult situations, not enough money to pay the bills, or whatever the situation may be. It's when we are called upon to manifest our trust in the Lord. That's a sure sign of being worried. It's a sure sign that you have been distracted from knowing what it is to wait on God. Failure to wait upon God. That's an evidence of worry, of taking matters into your own hands beyond what is reasonably to be expected. Failure to wait upon God results in the next item that we have listed here, number 8, taking matters into your own hands. Often our cares pressure us into using what we might consider, quote, unlawful means, pushing the agenda. Well, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. had a quaint way of saying things. And this is one of his sayings. It's never right to do wrong. Not even to get a chance to do what is right. And then he would add, do right, even if the stars are falling. In other words, no matter how pressing the situation might be, it's no excuse to do wrong. And we can set ourselves up for temptation to just fudge a little bit here. And we can straighten that problem out. No, you're going to create more problems in the long run. But it is an evidence of being conquered by worry. Don't worry, as we are told. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry. Now, the next section deals with, and we are probably going to have to conclude here, or we're just pretty much getting started. Let me just mention it as we perhaps bring our sermon to a close. The next section deals with some really good reasons why we should not allow ourselves to be worried. And I'm just going to go ahead and give you the heading of the next matter. It's useless. It's useless. Turn with me to Matthew 6:27. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? That's a lot to consider. He's saying that this worry is useless. Well, what's the answer? We haven't gotten there yet. But what's the answer? It's trust and confidence in our Lord. He's sovereign. He's in control. And comparing our previous sermons recently, here's something to take home with you this morning. The very trial that you're trying to maneuver out of and squeeze out of one way or another could be the very trial that God has brought into your life to accomplish in your life what he wants to accomplish. Think about that. Because last Sunday we talked about in everything give thanks. Why? Because God is sovereign. God is in control. And God is more interested about your character than he is making the pain less at the moment of your suffering. Let's pray. Father, help us to understand these things, to look beyond what's actually perhaps happening at any given time. And help us to see that you are the one who is committed to conforming us to the image of your dear Son. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.